Everybody's on their iPads now? All right. We're going to pull the meeting to order, please. Approve the minutes of May 8th and May 15th regular meeting. Someone make a motion, please.
Second.
Second, any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 197, establish a policy limit participation in party politics by appointing elected officials. Can I move it for discussion?
I'll move it.
Okay.
Chair. I was going to.
Hold on, second, please.
Second, sorry.
Go on.
I was going to request that we split that. It's kind of dealing with two things. One is, has more legal issues than the other, and from what I'm understanding, it can only be implemented if there's a, some sort of public funding in a complete comprehensive campaign package, like Kathy Nolan's putting up. So I could possibly talk to her about getting it in there, but I don't think it'll hold up legally. I think maybe some legal here could tell us about that. But the other half, all I've found is it's completely legal. Chris Verducci agrees. So I was hoping to split it and just have a vote on the half that deals with elected officials being on in leadership roles in political parties. It's been done through executive order in other areas.
Nick, can you doing that?
Right, sure.
So it sounds like the legislator's asking to amend the measure that's on the floor to remove the resolved clause dealing with restraints on campaign contributions.
Yes.
And leave in the resolved clause dealing with restrictions on holding offices in political parties. Is that
correct?
Right. So I concur that there is some substantial legal issues with the campaign contribution portion of it. That being removed, if that amendment were to be placed forward, I think would eliminate those concerns. The only other observation I would make about the portion restricting membership in parties is that this resolution does select only certain classes of employees of the county, so it's not a blanket prohibition. To the extent that that's something that the committee wants to take under consideration, could be reviewed. If it's amended, it may be brought back next week for a vote. But beyond that, unless you want to have a further discussion on the portion that's being removed, I don't have a whole lot to add.
Tracy?
Well, just for clarification, if we're removing the whole second resolve, we'd also in the second, whereas, you would strike the language after where it begins with and, right? The conjunctive second half, because that whereas describes both things.
Right, I think to make it logically consistent, that would probably be the intention. I think typical procedure, we would have the clerk issue a black lined version, so you would have those in front of you tonight, mm-hmm. Which is why my suggestion was if we want to discuss that amendment and if pleasure of the committee to then put it in that form and bring it back for a vote next week. That can certainly be done.
I'd be okay with that here.
Jim?
Question, which political offices, which what level? Chairman, vice chairman, secretaries, treasurers?
Be the executive, the legislature, the comptroller.
No, in the political committee.
Oh, the leadership role, so you'd have chairman, vice chairman, treasurer, just the top.
Secretary. The elected.
Yes.
Elected
officers in the year. All right, so there is some questions regarding breaking it down. There's some unanswered questions or a little bit more concerning questions on how you want to do it. The recommendation would be to hold off till next week so we get clarification on what the intent is now and what's going to be stricken from the resolution itself. Do you want to put that in the form of a motion? We hold it over a week.
I mean, but before we hold it a week, can't we have discussion on the merit of what we're talking about, which is just the...
But let me ask a question. Why are we waiting until the 12th hour, 11th hour to do this all the time? I mean, this resolution has been forth in the past. It has not, I mean, it has, you want it to change. That's great. But why is it, why wasn't it before
sure.
This particular time? And why are we doing it the 11th hour?
I assumed we were going to I was comfortable with it going forward. I assumed we were going to talk about it for at least a week once I split it up, but I had done quite a bit as far as getting down to the legal aspects. I really didn't want to cut it in half. I didn't know I was going to until the last couple of days. So I figured we'd put it off. I'd get everybody's opinion. I thought that it would still be fairly timely. There's not nearly as much to it with just this half here, but it goes all the way up to, I think there was two rulings in the state Supreme Court that said for you to have something like this that restricts donations, it has to be in a, and I was exploring that when I came to terms with the fact that I was not going to be able to do that through a legislative law. That's when I decided just to come here, split it, get everybody's opinion on that other half, which is much more minor. And then we can move forward in the next week or the next month, even if it turned into something more than I foresee. But I mean, that's...
Joe, you brought it to my attention last month, going up in the elevator.
Sure.
And you basically told me that you had some opinions regarding legality of the resolution itself. And I told you at that time, bring forth the opinions. We'll have the attorneys look at them, our attorneys look at them, and see what the validity of those opinions were. Now, I mean, that was a month ago. You said you would get me that stuff. I mean, not for anything.
I don't recall telling you I'd get you any stuff.
You told me you'd get the opinions of, you had attorneys that made decisions or opinions of what your resolution was stating and that it was legal.
Rich, I'm not going to, I don't know what you want to get out of this, where we are, where we're at.
What I want to get is, why are we doing everything the 11th and 12th hour all the time?
Look.
I have a problem with that, and I think everybody in this room knows that. There's enough time to debate and talk about various issues, and I don't see why we have to put our backs against the wall every time we do something.
I'm going to be completely honest with you, Rich. There's members of Ways and Means that I talk to far more, and that's because I think they're far more willing to work on these kinds of things in a real genuine way.
But the whole committee.
Rich, I'm still talking. When I've gone to the Republicans in particular on a lot of this stuff early on, the exec gets wind of it and starts to try to take my legs out from under me. I'm just going to be honest, okay? That's my honest opinion. That's why I haven't been real aggressive talking to a couple of you in the other caucus about some of these things. I'm just being honest. I think the best way for me to get this passed is to go through the Democrats on that, and that's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, just be honest. Everybody who sits in this room is a legislator, all right? And everybody has a vote. So to be honest with everybody. Okay. Tracy and Laura.
I was just going to suggest that we take the week that Joe, with legal, makes the strikes through. We come back, and in addition to coming back with the stricken draft so that everyone can see it, some of the supporting information from the other counties that have moved this legislation. Because I know when Joe first told me about this, I just did Google searches on where it's been enacted, in some cases by executive order, and it gave a lot of backstory that I feel like would be helpful for the committee to understand the potential benefit of it. Mm-hmm. So that would be my suggestion. That we hold for a week and come back to the stricken language and Joe brings forward whatever backup you need.
Yeah, you get it in advance.
Right, stricken language will take 10 minutes.
Laura?
Just to further expand on the chairman's point, I mean, when resolutions are going through committees, very often there's no other means to bring forward recommendations or changes or the discussion except at a meeting. Is there a way for us to put together another method or procedure so if we wanted to do some brainstorming or roundtable work, we could do it outside of an official committee meeting and have the resolutions prepared in such a way that they're ready to pass or take action on?
There are many different ways you can do that. You can email people, everybody that sits on the committee. You've been asked to have a special meeting. It's myself as chairman. Joe mentioned it to me that same day. I don't know if you recall, Joe, and I said, you get me the information. And I think it was, you know, with enough information to have a meeting, I would have a special meeting. But there again, you know, that's not what happened. We're here today. And there again, you know, if you know, Tracy made a recommendation to, you know, go hold off a week, break it down, cross out whatever you got to cross out. Everybody have discussions. Everybody have a week to digest this, and then move forward. Can you have your hand up first? And
just one thing, while we're waiting the week, if that's what the committee wants to do, wasn't there? I believe there's already something on the books in our administrative code or something. This issue came up, I think, about 10 years ago, and it was put on paper. So I think if we could take a look and see if we could locate that and read that.
Dave?
Just for a point of clarification for me, why would this be in this committee?
Why is it in this committee?
Personnel. Yes.
Personnel.
Yeah.
I mean, the clerk of the legislature makes that determination, right? It's the Committee of Original Jurisdiction. So I think it was determined to be a personnel issue. There was also a financial component when the campaign contribution aspect was included. So that's
right, because, you know, we're typically, you know, these types of things get typically dealt with in laws and rules because of the way it's set up. If, in other words, it's more of a something that you need to, you know, really pick apart more.
Dave, I think you'd have to ask the clerk why you put just one versus it. I mean, we don't make those decisions.
No, I don't. Okay.
Okay.
No problem. I just was curious.
All right, so.
Not giving any fault or anything.
No, it's, I mean, look, you could also request by motion to refer if the committee wanted to take it out of this committee. But the original jurisdiction is the clerk in the first instance.
Tracy, you making that recommendation?
Yeah,
I'll make
that.
All right.
Second.
All in favor to hold over a week, break it down into two resolutions. Whoever's going to do it, make sure the committee has it. We'll wait prior to next week's meeting.
And can we ask Jim if there is something in the
I remember it was like, Dave, you got to remember 10 years ago there was something, was it board of elections, who could hold what offices? I remember doing it.
Oh, I totally remember it too. That was the thing that totally upset one of our former colleagues, who was not a colleague at that time, but was a party chair. And the
well, that was something that I was pushing.
It had to do with the idea that somebody being a chairman of the political party and the head of board of elections.
Right. Okay.
That was a pet peeve of mine. Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that they should be held by the first.
All right. All in favor, say aye. Hold it over.
Aye.
All right. Next, 205, establish a reporting standard workday for elected and appointed officials.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
206, authorized distribution mortgage tax. Moved.
Moved.
Second?
Second.
There's a list behind it with the all towns, last year's and this year's. Not years, but quarters. All in favor, say aye. 214, approving a contract excess of 50, ask their services for children, families, Department of Social Services.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Just start, Tracy.
Okay, I just want to say I spoke to Deputy Executive Ken Cornell on this issue. For those of us who were here the last time this came up, they'll recall that there was some pushback. I was vocal in terms of, I think at that time we were approving $3 million per contract across the board, and even though we were operating within the constraints of the budget, it made several of us uncomfortable. So I'm happy to see that Ken went and made informed decisions and adjusted those numbers to address our concerns. We're still operating within the constraints of the budget, so we couldn't exceed the budgetary numbers, which these numbers exceed, and I think we all know that here, but I'm happy to see that there was a response to the concern. And that goes for that whole list.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
Continue to monitor that, too. We have to reduce them or increase them going forward, too. We'll do that.
So. Yeah, it's my understanding, we can't say, I mean, in my conversations with Ken, we can't, if we were to exceed our approved budget, we can't say no. We have to come back and pay the money.
Yeah.
So,
same thing
so
with
I understand that this is really predetermined, yeah, and it's tightly controlled, but I still didn't like seeing
right, and that's why we brought those back. Absolutely.
So
yeah,
thank you for that response.
Yes.
Do we have like a sense of numbers? How many placements we had, how many went through the system.
I can get that for you. Yeah, absolutely. We keep track of that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if it got presented at the committee.
But I definitely know we can get it.
Yeah, because there's, and while we kept the numbers
right.
down.
I'll give you the total for all of
that. That would be great,
yeah,
just to get a full picture
of
how many
services
kids.
Has it. Just,
and, it, and I know there's varying degrees of services dependent on
the
situation.
But I can give you the
numbers. Great, thank you.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
15215, approving the execution of a contract at Dubuque County, Berkshire Farm Center Services. Moved.
Second.
Discussion, roll call, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
216, approving the execution of a contract except for 50,000 Children's Home of Kingston.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, if not, roll call, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
217, approving the execution of a contract over 50,000 to Dubuque County, Children's Home of Poughkeepsie, New York, Department of Social Services. Moved.
Moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
218. Did we bunch these together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we probably did.
218 all the way down to
232.
232.
232.
Yep.
Motion to bundle.
218
to 232.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 218.
Can I just ask for some clarification? I had gone through, Deputy Cornell had forwarded the county programs and initiatives for Ulster County contracts, and I couldn't find all of these vendors on there. Is there another list or a more complete list?
Which one are you referring to in particular?
I think the one in particular, one of them was William George Agency.
The last one.
I found St. Christopher, St. Catharines. I don't know about Parsons. Some of them were and some of them were. Is there a different vendor list?
I can take
list?
A look at it.
Okay,
but, I mean, these
you.
Are all vendors in the system.
Would that have anything to do with WMS, the fact that...
No, I mean, the contract, I even have the contract numbers on these, so they are in the system, which means the vendors are in the system, too.
Gotcha.
To be different, I can get you. Is it just that particular one?
No, there were a couple others. In
okay,
there
if you go through Amber, we can get you that information.
All right, thank you.
I had a question. Whether we could get a more comprehensive vendor list with all business we've done online so the taxpayer can get on, type in, go through alphabetically and check every company, you know, follow the money. Is that, I know other counties do that. I was given a hard time by Mr. Cornell and to a certain extent, my colleague, Legislator Lopez, about mentioning a vendor list. The idea that a legislator would have to explain where he got a vendor list from when we're appropriating a $300 million budget was kind of surprising to me. But I think it's something that should be online, and I was hoping to get that done. I don't know why anyone
Burpee
would want a vendor list online.
Burpee, yeah. So there is a Citizens Access on the website. It's on the main homepage. It's on the far right side, and that is updated quarterly with
how far back
vendors.
Does it go?
I think it's at least, you know, probably 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's been there a while.
Every and it's got every single, because I was unable to find that, so perhaps we could just make
it's not, it's not gonna be
I can
every,
check to see when it was last updated.
It's not going to be every vendor payment, because these payments are done through the state system.
That would be, just WMS wouldn't be on there.
Correct.
But
that's,
every other
but that's
company.
A lot of social service payments.
Yeah, sure.
It could be OGS.
So
is that?
Could it be OGS then? Not necessarily.
They wouldn't be on the OGS, no.
This is all through the state. She's all of these payments.
Where'd you say that link was? I got to check that out. I
use
it on
the Ulster County.gov.
Tracy?
Yeah, just, I mean, I think that it's I'm glad to know it's on the website. I haven't looked for it on the website, but I think it's, I think it makes sense to have this discussion as part two of the campaign finance discussion, because when we're talking about the, in quotes, the doing business database that's modeled after New York City, I think as it's written now, it's an internal site, but it's one of the things that I think we need to talk about whether or not that doing business database would have public access. So I'm expecting that we're going to continue to have these conversations as part of campaign finance, because that's really, I think, where the information becomes relevant to the public as well. So,
where on the site is it?
On the mobile site, I'm looking. It's on on the regular site. It's on the right hand, like on the far right. It just says Citizens Access.
Mark DeMarc, you give an email and tell them exactly where
sure.
it's located.
Yeah,
all right.
Right.
All right, any other questions? If not, resolutions 218 through 232 inclusive, a motion to move them all.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
233, approve the execution of contract with Buddy County, Callahan Industries, UCAP, moved by?
Moved.
Second? Any discussion? If not, roll call, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Can we bungo 234 through 239, so Department of Public Works?
No.
No? All right, 34, the aggregate amendment to excess of 50, Red Hawk Fire and Security LLC, moved?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Questions, discussions, if not, roll call, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
235, approving execution of a contract excess of 50, entered by the county, Bergman Associates, Department of Public Works, moved?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
236, approving the execution of a contract excess of 50, entered by the county, Hubble Inc., Department of Public Works, moved?
Moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussions?
I just was wondering if someone had the backstory to this, it sounds a lot of, like, what our Soil and Water District does, and I'm just curious if anyone knew how the project came about.
Mark?
It's the stream stabilization, how it actually came about, I don't have the... It is on, let me see.
Which maybe we couldn't find it.
Do you know how the project eventually came about?
So, it was a bid. I don't have it in front of me.
Kathy?
The smaller projects, the Ulster County Soil and Water, I think, can handle for the larger project, and we have brought in Malone and McBroom, is that the company?
Yes.
They have specialized skills and have done the larger projects in the watershed. Not sure if I have any more detail than that. This is a big project, and it will need to be done by companies that can do it. It'd be a big investment and do an enormous amount of good.
Mark, can you get us that information?
I will.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, roll call, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
237, approving a contract excess of 50, entered by the county, Pestmaster Services, Department of Public Works.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Questions? All in favor, say aye.
I have a question. So is this, do we have a standing contract?
This is, yeah, so we go out to bid, this is our standing, it's three-year integrated pest management.
And it's so hot that when I got to look at the details of the schedule, like, super specific, so I don't necessarily want to get into the nitty-gritty right now, although I did have some questions, because it refers to glue boards, but then the requirement of snap boards, and, but I'm assuming this is something that's pretty regular, and it's a stand, is the contract, has the contract language changed since the last time?
No.
In terms of the requirements for the different vectors and pests?
Not a second, unless we find new pests.
Stink bugs.
I know, I won't take this committee's time, but I may call you or something.
Okay.
There's some provisions for what to do if there are new pests.
There you go.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Roll call, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
238, approving the execution of contract in excess of 50, entered by the county, Barton Lejudis.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Questions? Yes, Joe?
I was hoping to get the floor for a couple of minutes on this one. I have some handouts, and I'd like to start a conversation that hopefully leads to maybe a special committee, hopefully some changes inside, some personnel changes. I got some handouts, I don't know if we want to make copies of it.
Personnel changes where?
Well, I'll get to that. This company right here is one of many companies that we do business with that donates large dollars to our executive, and I just can't sit here in good conscience and continue to look the other way, especially when it bleeds into so many other parts of the county. And I think when we look at it, it becomes so cumulative that it's almost hard for it to be coincidence. I've printed out vendor list after vendor, this is a snapshot, I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg. This is just a little over $50,000 worth of donations in 10 or 12 companies. I have a vendor invoice, I can start passing them around, you flip the page, and you'll see. This leads me to an uncomfortable conversation, but one we have to have. We represent the taxpayer, and they deserve this conversation. We have, and I, as far as I can tell, we're the only county in the entire state that has the same individual as the budget director and the finance director. I know for a fact we're the only county in the state that has the same finance director, budget director, and treasurer to the executive campaign. So you're talking about the same individual that's entering all these numbers. And it's just, we have to take a look because the numbers don't lie. We'll talk about campaign donations from appointed positions because I'm at close to $200,000 in just that. People that are appointed positions, most of the time they stop immediately upon stopping work with the county. And there's just not that many donations coming from union members. So it's hard, and I think we're putting county employees in a tough position as well. I think you take that away and you're doing them justice. Look, we have to have this conversation. That's a whole sheet. You have the company today, we're approaching $1 million. There's over 2,000 in donations. Chemung Supply Corporation, almost 900,000, they're at 2,000. Romer Mollins Gold and Manu, another law firm that we subcontract with, and there seems to be hundreds as I go through there, many of them donating. They're at 6,000 in donations. All four of their partners, they're from Albany. All four of their partners donate along with the company themselves. Taylor Montgomery, they're at $15,000 in donations. Arrow Construction, Peckham Industries, they're at $3,700. Physical Advertisers, they're at $1,450. Peak Engineering, Focus Media, who we've done $850,000 in, they're at $7,500 in donations. It goes on and on. Mumbakis Excavating, $4,000 in donations. Gorman Brothers Paving, under all these different names, but you line up the address. It's all going through our budget and finance.
Mr. Chairman, does this have anything to do with this resolution?
Well, it does, because this is another company that's donated to our executive.
I'm trying to hear the chairman's response to my question.
Joe, are you saying because these people donate, they should not, they should be prohibited
from doing
work for the county?
No, just the opposite. I'm saying that because they do work for the county, they should be prohibited from donating, and it should come from the exec. But to sit here and say these are coincidences is a stretch. I mean, it's just a stretch, especially when I have people in the private sector that have told me that.
We have no legislation or any kind of policy regarding restricted, so we can't tell any contractor.
Can we pass these around, everybody? Take a look.
I have to keep those.
Okay. To make copies?
No. We don't have the ability to
pass them around now.
Oh, okay, but we can make copies.
I have copies.
Keep them. Show anybody. Please, show everybody.
I would like to
see coming around.
All right, so let's talk about the issue at hand, which is this resolution. All right, let's talk about this.
Oh, these are not individual.
No,
this is all one package. Collected.
There's one package from...
I separate them by...
Right,
but
I don't
take each one. We don't take each one.
No,
it's a whole stack.
All right, so Joe brought up the point that there have been contributions made by this particular firm that were going on Resolution 228. He feels that I don't want to put words in your mouth. What do you feel about this resolution, that they should not be able to bid on this resolution?
Look, the reason I came out today is because I've become more and more aware of the amount of money we have coming.
But answer my question.
So I wanted to start the conversation. I'm asking, I can't vote for this. I'm going to be a no every time I see it until we do something about it.
Okay.
That probably won't affect whether these vendors get the contracts or not. But we have to, and I honestly put the blame at the feet of the executive.
Kathy.
So I mean, I'm not saying that these vendors or these appointees are doing anything wrong.
This seems like a political statement. This committee's work being used as an opportunity to make a political statement, which is entirely inappropriate. And I would just add that the $2,000 mentioned from a couple of these vendors, the annual yearly donation set by New York State is less than that. So, I mean, it's more than that. So an aggregate amount, these are, to me, not large donations. They are expressions of the business community. And if we're going to have a discussion about campaign finance, I think we should do it around the campaign finance law and not as an attack on an individual firm or an individual elected official. Just wholly inappropriate time and place for that conversation, I believe.
Out the public eye, that's inappropriate.
Joe.
Public eye.
Joe. She had the floor, Tracy has the floor next, and then Laura, Mark, and then you, all right?
I do think that this is a part of a campaign finance discussion, and it's something that I've thought about. I haven't seen these numbers, I haven't analyzed anyone's campaign finances, any one individual, other than my own, I've never gotten from anybody.
My name's on your campaign.
But I do think as a part of the campaign finance discussion, it's a critical piece of the puzzle, and it connects back to the doing business database. I mean, there are communities that have and municipalities that have set those thresholds at zero, and it's not because there necessarily is undue influence, but the perception of undue influence is equally important. So that's a debate we have to have in earnest as a legislature, and I expect it's going to be an intense one. I mean, there's a lot of nuance, and there's a lot of examples. I know that there are, you know, the state of New Jersey set the threshold very, very low. So we're going to have to talk about it, and we're going to have to hash it out. It's an important point. It's just I'm not sure in terms of this. Can I ask Mark a question? Since he's the first thing, just in terms of the RFP, how many responded to this one?
So this goes way back. It may have been before my time. This project began, and the design portion began long ago. I could look at it and see where the RFP was for this particular, and how many responses we got back. I would say that many of the names that Legislator Maloney talked about who have contracts with the county, won contracts on sealed competitive bids, which it's against the law to restrict them, regardless of who they donate to, from winning a bid. It's set up by state municipal law.
Hold on. Let's have our discussion pertaining to this resolution and this resolution only. Okay? Laura and Joe.
Well, it was about the conversation that was at hand, so it's not particularly the resolution. But I think as far as public perception goes, I mean, we do have to consider. We have an ethics law that precludes us from taking anything over $75 as a gift. So I do think we need to discuss this for future contracts that we're going to be approving, you know, even before we get through the campaign financing. And I'm not quite sure how to handle it without more consideration, but I mean, it does put up red flags. And again, I wouldn't want the perception to be that they're donating to have any favor shown towards their particular contract.
Mark, you say anything? You had your hand up?
No, I mean, I said mostly what I wanted to say. I mean, I will mention and bring up the point that, again, the executive proposed.
On this resolution only?
No.
Okay. Joe.
The reason I brought it up in Ways and Means is I do think it's something we have to deal with immediately. The fact that we have the same individual. If anyone in this room thinks that sounds right, the same individual to be at the head of budget, the head of finance, and the treasurer. And let me mention, there's $300 gift cards coming out of that campaign. We're in the thousands. So you have, I mean,
what's that to do with this resolution?
It has to do with this resolution because this is one of hundreds of companies that falls into this, and it's a problem.
You're talking about a finance department who has three different titles within that department. What's that to do with the resolution that we're at hand?
It has to do with everything behind the scenes that led to this has to be looked at.
But there is no policy to cease it right now.
People that live here that deserve better.
This is the difficulty with a topic like this being brought up with a committee that has specific work to do. If a time and place for this were established and people could come, we could have a conversation in which all the points get covered. There's a lot of things being said that are not, you know, directly on point. A personal gift to someone is quite a different thing than a person to make a campaign contribution, which is protected constitutionally as free speech. So it's a very complex area of law, and I think we should discuss it publicly, transparently, but it's a large agenda in and of itself. And to have these kinds of allegations almost being made without a full opportunity for people to answer them, I think gives them a very skewed perspective.
Bert and then Tracy.
Just so the committee knows, my treasurer role is disclosed in my ethics form. I also played no role in these RFP processes as Commissioner of Finance / Budget Office. So I don't know where Jumbaloni thinks that I play a role in this. I don't.
Have you ever told the exec how many donations are coming in? Have you ever said, hey Mike, we got
all those reports are public.
So you've never mentioned it to the exec as his treasurer. Hey, Mike, we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in from vendors that we're doing business with? You've never done that.
It's not hundreds of thousands.
It most certainly is.
Well, hundreds of thousands over the years, yes. Okay, over the years, Joe. It's not one particular year.
Oh, of course. I did not mean 2018 or 17. I meant over the past couple of years.
All right, let's talk about this resolution and only this resolution. All right? We're going way off base here. We could be talking about a whole gamut of things here. Let's deal with this resolution 238. Tracy.
Okay, so this is a question I didn't have before we had this conversation, but it's to focus my looking at this resolution. So because this is an extension of work that's been, Mark, you said, ongoing since before your time in the role, but it is the amendment amount is $97,100.
The construction inspection services. They were the design.
Adding the construction inspection services and the development of a stormwater pollution plan, because the value of that amendment is so high, did we consider going out to bid just for that aspect?
No, because, I mean, you typically have the engineer that designed the plans as the construction inspection.
But
I mean, it's like a phase one,
phase two,
because...
But if we typically have that, then why wasn't it in the original scope?
Because we weren't at that phase yet. We don't do that for any of our projects. So in a bridge, when we design a bridge, we then also come in with the construction portion and do construction inspection services, which is why we had Hubble. You know, we have the Hubble contract, and then we have the Barton Legutus Amendment.
Wait, I don't understand. So you're saying it's standard procedure for us to not include in the scope something that we know is going to be in the scope?
For construction inspection, yes.
And that the standard for construction inspection
is to have the design engineer, the engineer who does the design.
But why would it not
partially
have been in the original scope? That doesn't make any sense to me. If you're saying we always do this, but it's not, we always do it as an amendment. That, why wouldn't we just make it part of the original scope?
I think because you don't know what it's going to be until design is done. When you do the original scope, you're hiring them to do the design of whatever it is. In this case, it's the bank's stabilization, or in the case of a bridge. So you don't know what those construction inspection services are going to be. And you typically don't until about the time that you go out to construction phase.
And is it standard in the rest of the construction world to have the person that does the design phase also do the construction inspection?
Yes. In fact, many of our state, we do that with the state project.
With the state project. Okay.
Anyone else? If not, all in favor say aye.
Oh, no, I didn't sign no. I wait till the end.
All right, resolution 239, approving the execution of contract excess of 50, Antibody County, Town and Country Bridge and Railing, Department of Public Works. Move. Second.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call. All in favor say aye. 240, approving the execution of contract excess of 50.
Since that's a problem, it's fine. Can I just ask a question about 239?
Yep.
Since it just passed. So the roadway signage, it looks like we're replacing almost every sign with a giant...
The retro reflectivity standards have gone up.
So we don't do this as an absolute normally. There are new standards and
there are
four.
And a lot of times, I think in the past, we've done it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 240. Approving the execution of a contract, that's the 50 MVP health plan, Department of Personnel. Move.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
I get to it.
can someone explain to me what bio is?
There's two types of insurance within this. One is the Medicare supplemental, and one includes prescription as a supplemental. The standard doesn't. It's the buy-up that includes the prescription cost to that.
And that depends on when people are hired?
Well, no, they're Medicare eligible. It's just the type of insurance they want. In terms of they want prescription or not.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
241, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the error in amendment amount to be excess of $50,000 at Cabarrus County. Tyler Technologies Information Services.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
242, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 at Cabarrus County. Correctional Medical Care, Inc. Ulster County Sheriff. Move, please.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Yes?
We have gotten some emails regarding, and this is regarding this particular firm. Mm-hmm. I would like to see some sort of addition in here that we see either monthly or quarterly redacted reports, just to confirm that, you know, we're being billed for the services actually provided.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's going to have to be in some sort of a formal request so we know exactly what you're looking for, or we can submit it to them. Yeah, it's in the process right now. It's going out to bid.
Okay.
So that's in the process now.
Tracy?
So, I look back over old minutes. I've been on record with concerns about this company, and I voted no every time it's come up in the past years. And I did a Google search today, which was pretty upsetting. I mean, I can just, it's in front of me right now. I just put in CMC, Medical Services, Jail, and you have suit, room, jail, contractor, CMC, falsified medical records, AG, jail, medical care provider to pay $200,000, PA, service company probed over New York, inmate, AG settles, lawsuit alleges falsified medical records, county rehires negligent medical care company. So we're not just talking about failures. I see this as two problems. We have what the AG identified in terms of failures to staff correctly, to bill correctly, and potentially to, let's just say, cheat counties out of services and inmates out of services that should be provided contractually. But we also have allegations of fraud. We have situations of culpability in regards to deaths in jails at the state over. So I, let's just say I still feel very uncomfortable about this. I definitely will be a no. I was told that the last time that this contract came up, they were the only provider that responded. According to the minutes from the last meeting when I voted no, there were three providers that responded.
I think I want to correct the record I believe I just got that from Ed Jordan, the director of purchasing. There were three responders.
So this is a problem. I mean, here's another county that's, you know, rehiring. County rehires negligent medical care company for jail. That's going to be us. That's going to be us. So I do not feel comfortable, and I'm definitely a no. Now, beyond being a no, because probably this is going to happen because our back's against the wall, I think we need to ask our county comptroller to do a bona fide audit. Red flags were raised. We potentially need to go out for our own audit from within the legislature as recommended, but we definitely need to take aggressive action to make sure that not only are they providing what they're saying they're providing on a financial basis, but on a care basis, because both those things are equally, if actually the care basis is more important. So we might be getting cheated out of money, but when lives are on the line, we have to take this very, very seriously.
All right, well, actually, everybody should have a copy of the letters that were sent by the mm-hmm. controller's office in the past years, 2012, 2012, 2011, 2010. Everybody have a copy because I asked the Amber to send them to everybody. You know, at that point, you know, we'd had some issues. Everybody was well aware of those issues. I would ask the controller's office, you have monies in your budget to do an audit. You know, it was an issue that you guys thought it was concerning. I would ask that if you're not going to do it, then let us know, because we do have monies that maybe we can appropriate in order to look at this and see exactly what we're getting, why we're getting it, what's the cure, like Tracy just mentioned, so that we can move forward. You know, we just can't sit here and every time a contract come due and it raised red flags and, you know, nothing's done, we should have, could have, but would have. This is the point that we could do an audit and see exactly what we're getting for the value that we're paying. So in saying that, Evan, if you can, you know, talk to the controller, see if you guys have an interest in doing anything. If not, please come back and tell us that you're not, you're going to, and then we'll make a decision what we're going to proceed if you don't do anything.
I think there'd be interest to work collaboratively with the legislature on that. I don't think we'd have the availability to do that from completely within.
Well, I don't think you would do it within. I think you would ask an outside firm to come in and do it.
No, or even the funding for such. I don't think we'd be able to provide that.
All right, well, why don't you see what the controller would like to do?
Why?
And then,
they don't have a lot of funding.
The legislature. Hold on. So ask the controller what he'd like to do, how much money that you have available, and then we'll see what we have available in our audit line, and we'll proceed from there. Lynn?
I was trying to piece together, I wasn't here in prior years, but my understanding was there was a list of recommendations that went to the Sheriff's Department saying what processes need to be in place to ensure that we weren't getting fraudulent, that we were getting the care. And my question is, okay, were those processes put in place?
That's something you'd have to speak to Teresa Plova about. I don't have to handle that part of it.
Okay.
But I do know our experience with them, we've had no trouble. I mean, we haven't, as far as my knowledge, as far as billing or any of that stuff goes. But I also will say, grievance-wise, there's been grievances sent up to Albany, none of which have been upheld, except for one that I'm familiar with, and that was somebody who didn't get an Advil they requested, and that's how picky they are up there. But I also know that it's going out to bid, and, you know, this is just an extension to carry us till that bid goes.
It's just an extension.
Yes. It's not a new contract. It's the same contract.
So
it's
just
the last one. Yes.
So when is that going out to bid?
It's got to go out very soon. This ends in next April.
This contract goes through May, and so we're
May of this next
May
year.
Of next year.
We're, yeah,
this is going to be a long process. We have some recommendations from the Attorney General's office that we've gotten that we need to look at putting into the RFP. We hope to have something out early fall, so that we have enough time to try to get as many responders.
So their old contract is already expired, and this is so to cover there was the expiration.
This was an RFP in 13, I believe, and it was a 3-year contract with 2-1. This is the last 1-year extension that's on the contract.
From what to what?
From the RFP.
Okay. From what date to what date?
From April 1st to May 31st, 2018.
So, again, this is a late resolution.
They're going, it's month to month at this point, yes.
Joe?
First, I'd like to just say good job to Legislator Bartels, and I feel like this happens a lot. She goes through these contracts, finds things, and nothing comes of it. My question is, the email we got from the comptroller's office is very incomplete, where it's what he sent out. I'm interested in what was sent back, of what did the exec say, and what did the sheriff say, and I think the list that Legislator Archer mentioned, where and one of these letters to the sheriff from the comptroller, there was a list of things to look into. This is 10 years ago, and it went on for years, these letters. Where are the responses? If you're going to send letters, I would hope to get the responses to have a full feel for what the back and forth was and where we went wrong, even if we find that there's nothing wrong. If it wasn't looked into, that's wrong, and it's only going to happen again and again, and I feel like I watch it happening all the time, where we bring these things up, whether it's Tracy or Lynn or
or Rich bringing something up in Ways and Means, we get some lip service, and I don't think half the time anything gets looked into. So my two questions first are, where are the response? Do you have the responses to these?
I was going to get there by way of background. One moment.
Okay.
Say that again?
I was going to get there by way of background in a moment.
Get there by background?
Because I can't have a complete thought on this unless we know what you know. I don't know who dropped the ball unless we know what they said back.
Evan?
So I'll get there in 2 seconds. This all came to light by way of our routine claims ordering. So that's done on a daily basis with invoices that are brought to the county. That being said, formal audit reports aren't necessarily created from day-to-day audits of claims. That's done on a department level. That's done very, very staff-to-staff basis. So that's why, just to clarify some points in the memo, that's why no formal quote-unquote audit was produced. That being said, this was an anomaly. This dealt with a catastrophic claim by an inmate, how it originally peaked our radar. But from a claims auditor perspective, they don't have any issues anymore. The specific recommendations that were enumerated within the memos and sent to the sheriff, as far as our claims auditors are concerned, they have been enacted by the liaison. I believe it's Teresa, mm-hmm. Who's been handling this. So the backup deficiencies, the invoice deficiencies have been cured in that regard. I don't know specifically as far as policy what's been enacted, but operationally our claims orders aren't a problem anymore. As far as response from the county executive, I do not have any responses on file. And just to get back to our approval of all this too, we only approve payment when the AG said that we could. Mm-hmm. But as far as us having kind of unilateral approval over the contract, that's non-existent. That's legislative prerogative. That's county executive prerogative. That's neither here nor there.
And let me ask a question here, Mark, Bert. What happens if we don't approve this contract? What transpires?
The contracts that we have allow for 60-day extensions. So, that's what they've been working on up until this point, which is why we came with this amendment. I think that you would possibly endanger having medical care at the jail after it ended May 31st, so after July.
Well, realistically, could you get another vendor in there in 60 days?
No. Well, it's 60 days from the time it ended, so...
Where, 60 days? So you put on notice this company, that you're giving them notices.
They've been working
leaving
on
60 days.
They've been working on the fact that we can extend their contract for 60 days since May 31st when this contract expired.
But this goes to next year, this contract.
This amendment does.
Right.
Right.
So you've been doing 30, you've been running 60-day contracts.
90 days.
That's all, just the 60 days.
60 days. So at the end of 60 days from today, can you get somebody in there 60 days?
No. You're at 60. We have RFPs out for a month, and it's not created yet. There's no way. I mean, it's difficult enough to get. We got three proposers last time. That's what the entire process, plus digesting the recommendations from the Attorney General's office, which has not fully been done yet. I'm going to be sitting down with the sheriff and possibly having another phone call with the Attorney General's office. I mean, the Attorney General's office is comfortable with us extending it for 1 year. Mm-hmm. They have a monitor in, they're gonna extend their monitoring for a year.
And has this been discussed in the committee, the police committee?
Yes, this passed the police committee.
It did?
Yes.
But well, you have a
I believe unanimously. Yeah, the sheriff was there. And that this memo came to them before that committee.
Joe? More?
Well, through the chair, do we have an exit clause? I mean, if we chose to extend this and then a more viable,
I'd have to look. I mean, most of our contracts have a termination for convenience with a certain amount of notice.
60, 90.
Joe?
These letters that I saw, were they ever sent to a legislative committee or legislators? Just the sheriff and the exec?
Let's get to that.
And because so I have two issues.
it looks like no one's responding to the comptroller's letters, and then the comptroller's not even informing the legislature.
Yes, I think that it was sent to the legislature.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Okay.
As well,
the only issue is
sure.
It sounds like no one did anything about these warnings for almost 10 years besides
letter?
Tracy figuring out on her own.
2010,
2011, and 2012.
Was it sent to the entire legislature or just the committee chair? Or?
Well, this one from 2012 was sent to the Ways and Means Committee, as well as Chairman Arnold.
Individually?
No, I'm just saying CC of the Chair of Legislature and Ways and Means Committee.
So, and we don't know if it was disseminated from there or put out from there? No.
Mark?
I mean, if I could just make a point about the executive's office responding to the comptroller on some of this from 2010 to 2012, that the exec's office does not administer these contracts, just like we don't administer the Ellenbogen or other contracts that the legislature has. The sheriff is an independently elected official with an independent budget. There may be conversations between the sheriff and the exec, but he wouldn't have responded to the comptroller's.
But he sent out a letter recently about that.
Because we had a conversation with the Attorney General between the county attorney's office.
And then he acted on it. Why not act on it when the comptroller sends him the same type of information? I mean, it's weird.
Acting?
It seems that there has been a lot of work that has been done in regard to trying to assess the performance of this this group. Yes. And I guess I'm most troubled by the fact that with the red flags that were raised, that we didn't have a way, or the comptroller's office didn't find a way to do an audit. The billing and hours and a really tight look at that can help improve the care, because obviously if you don't have adequate staffing, you're going to have the care situations that present risk to the inmates. So I'm hearing from both the representative of the sheriff's office and that the attorney general is involved, and that there is a some kind of monitor on site, that there has been quite a lot done. So I think we ought to focus on what we could have done as a legislature and try to address that. And if we're going to continue with this group, I would suggest that a full audit done by the comptroller's office, if they can do it. If they can't, then I'd like to understand why that is, and fill that gap some way, because I do believe if you're keeping very tight track of the staffing hours and payments and other data that you have, that will improve your standard of care. It's not the full, it's not the same as having a monitor on site, but apparently that is in place, and we are now trying to talk about this without really even knowing what that monitor is doing.
Evan?
Again, I will absolutely take back the recommendation that we potentially launch a full audit on this, but just to Legislator Nolan's point, at the time these concerns were raised, our issues were with deficient billing practices. The Attorney General seemed to take issue with the substantive medical care with it all. Mm-hmm. So as far as our concerns went, our recommendations were sent out, and as time went on, our claims auditors do not have an issue with what is being done as far as backup provided by the vendor and the department at this point.
Joe?
I was going to ask maybe Amber to explain to us, because it's something that I've talked to her about a couple of months ago, but we use the word audit pretty generally. There's different types of audits that you go out for. There's different types of audits that an internal auditing agency like we have with the comptroller's office would do. I don't know if I see this as something that I think you'd want a specialized auditing firm for this, something I'd be leaning towards doing ourselves, or if we found money in another budget. But that was just my opinion. I don't know what our budget analysts.
Well, I think
it
was said earlier that Evan's, internally they could not do this. We have to go to an outside firm, correct?
Yeah, at least financially.
Right, financially. And there would be an outside consultant that you would hire to do something like this that would have some specialties into this area.
That's what I need to secure.
All right, any other discussion?
No.
If not, roll call on 242, correct? All in favor say aye.
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 Just with, I'm an aye with the understanding that as soon as we get a viable, reputable bidder in, that we find a way to terminate the contract.
All right, who's against? Two. All right, resolution 243, authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Division of Homeland Security Emergency Services, Office of Emergency Communications, statewide vending project 42, Capital Budget Department of Communications, Emergency Manager. Move. Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
I just have one question. Yep. Does this cover all of the fire districts too, or is this just the 911 office, the funding?
The interoperability, I believe it is the 911 office and the sheriff's dispatch.
The sheriff's.
I have to double check with the fire. Do you know that?
Right? I think that is right. Yeah. And I know this committee had asked Steve to give an update. I mentioned it to Mark. We'll get something to the committee.
Oh, yeah. On the status of the entire project.
I know Steve's always working to try to get grants to improve it throughout the county. So
we can work on getting some kind of like status update report that, as opposed to.
Well, and we've been talking about this for years now. Yeah.
Yes.
This is a problem throughout the county.
Yeah, and it's a large problem.
And we have some serious issues in areas that do not have cell service. So we'll get an update on this soon.
Yes.
Right. Any other discussion? Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
245, appropriating funds from district attorney's forfeiture account, and then the Ulster County budget.
So moved.
It's an additional vehicle for the new investigator, fully funded by state pilot program. Move. Second.
Second.
Discussion, yes, Laura?
Yeah, do they ever, as far as not forfeitures, but seizures, do they ever seize a vehicle that would be appropriate for uses instead of going
DA's,
and buying
I'm not sure the DA's
office. The DA's office.
Not the DA's office, okay.
I have a question.
Yep.
Have you ever had an issue with seized vehicles, large numbers of seized vehicles, kind of sitting past the point breaking down because of a breakdown and the ability to legally file them and on time and get them out to use?
I'm the correction superintendent. When I was with the FBI, we had plenty of them. I can tell you that. But no, we don't. We didn't.
How many do you know how many we have? At any
no
given
idea.
Time?
They're not even housed within my purview or view. So I have
would we be able to get some kind of a list on seized vehicles?
Sure, I'm sure you could.
Yeah. Could you get that over to?
I'd love to take a look at it.
I've heard about issues with the logistics of going from seizing them to either selling them or using them because of legal issues that are just the manpower.
Manpower. I'm not quite sure what you're saying.
Legal staffing to get it from seized, sitting there, rotting away, to either get as much money as we can for them.
Yeah. I don't know if we would do a bidding and stuff like that.
Yeah, but recently I know the sheriff seized a car
like
last year.
Bid
it through our normal surplus auction process. It was online for online bidding.
It's coming in one.
In the 4 years that I was there, that's the
only thing. Can you re-adjourn?
Okay.
No.
After?
We'll get done quick.
Yeah, so I don't think the sheriff's office in particular deals with the.
I think that's something with the county, right?
We have vehicles that are that they're going to sell or whatever. Surplus stuff, the county takes that over. That goes to the general fund.
Okay. So it's not necessarily the asset fund, yeah. Forfeiture.
Right.
I'm not sure
about that either.
All right, resolution 246. Execute an agreement. Criminal justice? Did we vote?
On 247.
245, we didn't vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
46, execute a contract, project give, district attorney's office, department of probation. Move. Second.
Second.
Tracy?
So I would love, I don't know if someone is here who can talk about what this program actually is. In the description for the grant application, it says for urgent funding, but then in the budget summary by the participant, it doesn't mention urgent at all, and it talks about
an assistant DA and Kingston Police Department, so...
Well, that's urgent, though. The DA is part of urgent, so is the Kingston Police Department.
I think...
They're all part of it.
This used to be Operation Impact.
This is the same as Operation Impact? They changed the name.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, Resolution 247 through 249, can we bundle it? Solicitor County Sheriff?
Yeah.
All in favor, bundling? 47, 48, and 49?
So moved.
Second.
All right, on the resolutions, 47, 48, 49, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
252, supporting a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration.
Can you motion to approve?
Motion to approve the bundle?
Yeah. No, the bundle's approved, but the approval of them.
Of the motion bundle.
The resolution
yes.
as
yeah.
bundle.
All right, Jim made a second by Laura. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
On the resolution, moved by Jim, by Laura. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
252, supporting a grant application for the Transit Administration. Moved. Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
53, supporting a grant application, modernization enhancement funding. Moved. Second? All in
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye. 254, authorizing the chairman of the Kent Transit Agreement, New York State Department of Transportation, state share for managed transportation project for federal fiscal year 2018. Moved. Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Can we do 55 through 66, the numbers, or we have questions today?
I have a question on 55.
All right, Resolution 255, authorizes the chairman to execute an agreement with
Second.
The High Falls Water. Move.
Second.
Second, yep.
So, can we just get, Amber, the A and B, the schematics, were blank in here.
Okay.
Can we just get a copy of it? I'll support it. I know that this project's mm-hmm. been a long time coming. But
yeah.
And it was, just to give an update, it's been signed at the town level at this
That's
point.
That's great. Yeah. No, I know we've been talking about
it. And it's the maintenance of the line.
It's yeah. the maintenance of the line. Yes.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
59. Authorizing the county legislature to agree with New York State Dormitory Authority for project management service for Ulster County Community College. Move.
Second.
Second.
Can
Discussion.
I ask a question?
Yep.
So the Dormitory Authority, just for clarification, this is not for dormitory.
No.
No.
This is kind of the agency we always
but
receive
the
funding
agency,
for.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do project management.
That's
the
way I read it, but I
they do project management for the colleges. They're starting to do it for this.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
60, 61, 63, and 66, can we do it together as a bundle?
I have a question on 66.
Let's bundle it. Move, Jim, second. Who?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Well,
hold on, I'll bundle.
Yeah, aye.
All in favor say aye. On resolution 60, 61, 63, 66. Question on 66, Tracy.
Do we know why are they moving? Does anyone know why they want to move?
They were at the BR City.
They were at the BR City.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we found them an alternate place.
A classroom. We're OET.
Okay.
OET and DOL moved a while back.
Yeah.
And OC's.
It's going to be subleasing
on
them, and that's
yeah.
great. Okay. Thank you.
All right, all in favor say aye. Anybody have problems with 67, 69, 71, 73, and 74? Bundle, please.
Motion to bundle.
Second.
Second.
Correct. On the resolution 66, 266, 269, 271, 273, and 274. Moved by?
So moved.
Correct.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Before we leave, we have an RFP that the proposal will be provided for the committee. Not for discussion, confidential. The evaluations will be completed next Tuesday, June 19th. We'll have a meeting prior to our Ways and Means meeting.
What time will that be?
Probably, depending on what time the meeting is, probably 4, 3, whatever. Amber will let you know.
We're going to say we're going to meet before Ways and Means on the 19th, before the evaluations.
Yes. Correct.
Time.
We will set a time, depending. All right,
all
any other issues? If not, a motion to adjourn. Second, all in favor say aye. Thank you.
I haven't signed any of these yet, but we have to go to the
bring it later on.
6:18.